Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Thank you so much. Glad that all of y'all are here at the Southwest today to worship with us and to just praise our Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father today. I know you may have had a really busy week trying to get back into the routine. You got a little break last week, and now here we are. But today, just kind of try to release all that, let all that go, and just focus on what the Lord has for you today. Today, we're going to start talking about recovering hope. I think that a lot of us have lost the hope of our lives, and we just maybe feel hopeless at times. And so we're going to start talking about how we recover that in Christ. Romans 15:13 is our scripture for the day. I just want to read that to you. Then I want to pray for you before we do this next song, because I want the song to be part of your prayer. I want it to be part of maybe what God's going to speak into your life today and how he's going to lead you today. And so Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Lord, as we gather here today, I am just so aware of some of the hopelessness in the lives of those that gather here today. Lord, maybe watching online, there are some that are absent today, and Lord, somebody may be here for the first time, somebody may be watching for the first time, and maybe today is just the very day that you needed them to engage with this family of faith because of your message to them. Lord, I know there's some hopelessness in relationships and finances. There's hopelessness in some families. Lord, just in the lives of our marriages and the lives of our children. I don't know sometimes how some people just continue to move on in life without knowing you. So, Lord, my prayer today is that passage of Scripture. Simple, not always easy, straightforward, but not always easy to follow. Lord, that you, as the God of hope, would fill each and every person. Lord, it might be a health situation. Might be a situation of faith. They're wondering where you are in their lives, even though they just can't see you. You are there, Lord. I pray that you would reveal yourself to them, Father, and that you would fill them with all of the joy and peace of who you are. Lord, your entire being, you want to fill us with by the power of your Holy Spirit. So that's my prayer. And so that we would abound in that hope, so we would be fulfilled with that hope, so it would just overwhelm us and we would overflow with it. Lord, teach us and show us today to start with that one word, that one action, just to continue, or maybe for the first time, to believe in the God of hope. Lord, and I pray that in the powerful name of Jesus, against all odds, against all the spiritual forces and demons of hell that would keep us from believing, I pray against that, that we would turn to you in the name of Christ. Amen. Recovering hope, that's where we want to start today, and to be able to, I need to take up an offering, don't I? Thanks for that. Let me pray for our offering, and then we'll start. Lord God, thank you for just our time together today. Lord, as we give to you, I know there are times that we give, and we just don't know how we're going to do it. Sometimes we don't even know why we're going to do it. So, Lord, I pray that you would just put that spirit of giving in our heart. Lord, your scripture says to do it joyfully. But, Father, I pray just for the theme today that we would give it hopefully. Lord, that we would give it in hopes that you're going to do something great with it. And, Lord, we would see the fruit of that hope. Lord, we would see the fruit of your labor and ours as we partner together. Lord, bless every gift, every giver. Lord, you just provide for them as they provide for the needs of your ministry in Lubbock, Texas, and beyond. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so Recovering Hope, I'm going to read you a few statistics that will be a little depressing to start with, but I think it really highlights the reason we need to talk about hope. Depressive disorders affect approximately 19.6% of the U.S. population age 18 and older, okay? Guess who the fastest growing market is for antidepressants? Preschoolers. 30% of women are clinically depressed. Depression in men is at least half that of women, but the number is growing exponentially year after year. Approximately 280 million people in the world live with clinical depression. Let me switch gears. One person dies every 34 seconds in the United States from cardiovascular disease. Studies show that depression is a contributory factor to fatal coronary artery disease. 15% of depressed people in the United States will commit suicide. Over 700,000 people around the world die of suicide every year. Approximately one death every 34 seconds, I said, is from a heart attack. One death every 11 minutes is because of suicide in the United States. You can look up all those statistics yourself. You can find those. There's more statistics than you probably even want to see and read about. But there are a lot of them. And so when you think of those, here's what I want to say to you today is that we need to recover hope. Because all that talks about hopelessness to me in the context of what we're talking about today. And if you're online or if you're here today and you think you're in that place where you are so hopeless that you don't think you can live any longer, I certainly want to be somebody you talk to, but I'm probably not the first person you need to talk to, okay? You can come talk to me today. Yes, I'm not putting you off. You can put it in the YouTube or the Facebook chat today if you're watching online and you can say that you need help, or you can put in there a prayer request, whatever it might be. But if you're in that place, this is a national hotline that gets you hooked up with somebody in Lubbock, Texas today. And so if you need that, I'm not ignoring you. I'm not putting you off. I mean, that's something that you need to do today, and I encourage you to do that. Okay, and so I want to be really upfront and real with you today. I know part of our culture, we talk about being in each other's business and in each other's space. I'm going to get in your business today. I hope you have your steel-toed shoes on. Did y'all bring those? If you're wearing sandals, raise your feet, because it might hurt just a little bit. You might even walk out of here going, does he have cameras in my house? Does he have access to my phone so he can see what I'm saying and doing and all those kinds of things? If that is true, just say thank you to the Holy Spirit, because that's where that's coming from. It's not me. It's God talking to you today. And so if you want the notes today also, you can text that word and telephone number and you can get those. If that's too much for you, I'll give you a second to look at that. 3, 2, 1. If that's too much for you, you can just scan the QR code and you can get the same thing, and I'll leave that up there for just a minute. A guy in the Bible named Paul, he was an apostle. His life was radically transformed by Christ. This was after Christ was crucified, dead, buried, resurrected, gone to heaven. After that, he wasn't one of the original disciples walking around with Jesus, but he became one of the most influential apostles because of his transformation in Christ. And he had a lot to say about hope. He had a lot to say about hopelessness as well. And so in Romans 15:13, I already read it to you once, it says, "Now may the God of hope," okay, the God of hope, "may he fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So when he talks about this hope, when he talks about this God of hope, he's really talking to people that really have no hope. He wasn't really talking to those that were in the church. He wasn't talking to those that were really already following Jesus, even though probably for us, we need to realize that even when we follow Jesus, we still need hope because life does get tiresome. It does get full of situations where we need to remember who God is and we need to remember to follow him. But he's talking about the God of hope to fill us all the time with his joy and with his peace. And when we are filled with this joy and this peace, then we abound in hope. That means we're overcome with it. We're filled to overflowing with it. It means that we're just rolling around in hope. Okay, and when we do that, but he's also talking about, may the God of hope, he wants to say the God that's always been full of hope. Okay, he really, I don't know if you know this or not, but Scripture, all of Scripture, okay, every bit of Scripture, let me read this to you out of Romans 15:4. Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Everything written in the Bible, everything talked about, all the situations, all of the people, all of the sentences, no matter who wrote them, who said them, what the circumstances were, they're all there for your hope. And some of those are really hard and tragic stories, but there's always a lesson from God of how he delivers us out of those into the living hope ultimately. And I'll talk about that in just a minute. And so what we really need to do is stop looking externally to all the things around us to give us hope and start looking internally to Jesus Christ. Start looking internally to the Holy Spirit, because what we have to do is not always look back at the past, okay, even though I bet you can find some hopeful things in the past, but this living hope is about today and about what is to come. It's about tomorrow, and it's about the next day. It's about this afternoon. It's about the next step. Remember, I'm always talking about the next step. The next step you're about to take. What is God about to do in you and through you and with you and for you with this living hope? All right? And so to recover, and we stop looking externally but look internally, it really is about the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we do it? I'm going to go back to the Scripture. It's really easy. There's one word in that passage of Scripture that makes it all happen. And it's that word, believing. Okay? It doesn't say just believe. It says believing. It means it's active. It's ongoing. It's constant. It's not just once. It's all the time. I don't know about you, but I have to constantly go back to God. I have to constantly go back to Christ. Not just the remember a camp experience. Not just remember a walk to Emmaus experience. Not just to remember getting my third grade Bible experience or a Sunday school or a retreat or whatever, okay? But about constantly remembering over and over and over and over again. Because if I don't, then I forget. A lot of you were taught something at an early age that you didn't routinely. How many of you took a foreign language in high school? So many of you. How many of you know Spanish? Boy, I wish I had rehearsed this. This would have been awesome. Wait, how many of you took Spanish in high school? How many of you know Spanish? Some of you, right? Joe, put your hand down. Right? So, it's because we don't practice it. We don't live it out every day. Okay? So, as I was just a couple of weeks ago, I was, most of you know, I used to be a police officer. I used to be a cop, and I was really good at DWIs and drug enforcement and those types of things. And somebody said, could you write a DWI today if you had to? I said, no. I could go through the routines of everything, but because I haven't done it regularly and I'm not caught up on everything that happens today paperwork-wise, I could not do the paperwork, okay? I could go through all the tests. I could do the things that are standardized, but I don't know what's new, and I don't know what the courts require, and I don't know how to, there's just things because I haven't practiced it. I need to go back. In Christ, we need to go back. 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 How many of you have a Bible that the cover's fallen off of? Maybe I should ask this. How many of you don't have a Bible that the cover's falling off of? Right? This is my newest one. It's great. I may have Macy go run to my office real quick because I got out at Graveside on Friday and I picked up my other Bible that I've had since day one, and most of the Old Testament fell out on the ground. Now, some of you might be like, hallelujah, finally, we don't have the Old Testament anymore. No, it's just that worn out. It's that worn out, and maybe all of us need to be in that place. What is believing? God is filling us by believing. God is filling us through believing. God is filling us by believing. It's active. It's ongoing. And what we need is the promises, okay? And so look at that passage of Scripture one more time. In believing so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, and in the Holy Spirit come all of His promises, okay? And so what is hope? If I promise you this afternoon that I'm going to do something for you, you're not hoping in the moment, you're hoping in what is to come. Okay? Now, there's a hope that happens right now that's active, but there's also a hope in what the promise is going to bring. And so when we hope, and we hope in those promises, then we need to hope in the promises of what God has in store for us. And you may wonder what that is. It's called believing in God's promises. It's believing in what He has for you. Because today may not be it. Today may not be your best day. You may not be living your best life today, but it's about what is coming. And some of it is eternal, but also some of it is just literally what's going to happen in your physical life today. Maybe what's going to be at work or at school or at home or wherever tomorrow. It's about those promises. It's about what is coming. And so I want to talk to you right now. This is where I want to land for the rest of the day, is what are those promises? What is it that we're supposed to be believing in? Because those promises, remember Hebrews 11:1, we said it last week. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but also the evidence of what is not seen, the promises of what's coming. And Jesus says, what is that? God says it's the joy and the peace. This week, I know joy came first, but I want to talk about peace this week. And next week, we'll talk about joy. But what is that? What promises produce joy and peace? What promises bring that into our life? Now, here's the deal. I think that a lot of you have peace, and so you have that hope, but the ones of us that don't have hope, we don't think we have any peace in our life. And I think that's because we have something confused with peace, and that's called tranquility. I think when we pray for peace, I think we're praying that all the nonsense would stop around our lives, okay? I think when you pray for peace, you're praying for that while you're sitting in traffic, right, in Lubbock, Texas. Your prayer life is not going to change traffic in Lubbock, Texas. And I said that so much kinder than I wanted to, and so I'm so proud of myself. Right? It's just not going to happen. You may be praying for peace, but that peace is not going to stop the people you might have to work with, right? I almost said at church. at your jobs, right? It may not change all of that. Stop thinking that peace is everything being great in your life from day to day and everything is going to be perfect, because that's not going to happen. Stuff is still going to happen around you all of the time. That's not the peace I'm talking about. If I'd say, imagine peace in your mind, immediately you have an idea, right? Mine is always a beach somewhere, and it's fantastic, and it's beautiful, and it's blue waters. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's not too humid. The wind's not blowing too much. You know, it's all these things. That's not peace to God, okay? What is it to you? And how can we change your idea of peace from tranquility to what it is that real peace is? Because real peace is the power and the presence, as we've already said, to persevere, right? To persevere, that brings hope. Perseverance through the things that are going on around you. Perseverance through the hard times. Perseverance through the chaos. There's a picture out there online I saw years ago, and I could not find it again because I really wanted to show it to you today. But there's an artist rendering of peace, and there's a lightning storm in the back, and there's all these rough waters on the ocean, and the waves are beating up against these rocks, and there's water everywhere, and it's just chaos. It looks absolutely terrible. But if you look at the picture long enough, and I didn't see it forever, nobody told me it was there. I mean, it's obvious if you're looking. It's not one of those you got to try to find it. It's there in the middle of those waves in the rock. There's a little bitty picture, or there's a little bitty dove sitting in a little crevice behind in those rocks, behind the water and behind the waves, and that dove is just sitting there. That dove knew he was safe. That dove had to get to that place in the middle of all that chaos to have that place of peace. All that stuff didn't stop around this little bird, but this little bird flew to that spot knowing that he was okay or she was okay. Where is your peace? Who, it's not what, remember it's not external. I'm not going to say what can you find your peace in. It's internal. Who are you going to find your peace in? Jesus Christ. That's where you have to land everyone. Everything is hard and God has given you peace and only is supposed to magnify the Lord himself. If you're coming to me for peace, I'm going to get the glory. If you're going to alcohol for peace, alcohol is going to get the glory. If you're going to some other addiction, it's going to get the glory. If you're going to friends, if you're going to money or whatever, it's getting the glory. And that's not where the glory resides. The glory resides in Christ himself. Because here's what we do. We think we have all the answers. We come here and we live in this moment for just for an hour and a half or an hour and 15 minutes or whatever it is on Sunday morning, and then we go out and we live a different life. And we think we can't figure out why. We're like, it's so good in here. That felt so good. And worship was so good. And the message really inspired me and it gave me instruction. But I got back out in the world and it just didn't feel the same. That's because we're not living the same life out there as you're living right here, okay? And so what you're searching and what you're watching and what you're listening to, all those things matter. Those things are interrupting your peace, or they're providing, they're directing you towards peace. That's why I said you may think I live in your house or I know your phone, what's going on in your phone, because I promise you right now you may be here in worship. But what you're texting your friends right now and your snap, right? Oh, I heard some laughs, right? Your conversations here are high and holy, but your DMs are dirty. If you don't know what a DM, ask somebody. See this side of the room that's a little younger than this part of the room? They're laughing over here because they know, right? See, we have this double life and we wonder why we don't have peace. How many of you, if you just think about this as a double life, okay? How many of you have tried to live a lie with somebody else while you're trying to live a righteous life with somebody else, right? You told a lie over here and you're trying to remember all the lies you've told, but you're trying to figure out how to stay honest and truthful on this side of your life, and it's just chaos. You can't do that forever. See, that's chaos, and that's what he's talking about with peace. There's no way you can do that forever. Eventually, you're going to have to give in to one or the other. You're going to have to say, Lord, I'm with you or I'm not with you. You're going to have to say, Lord, I'm going to live in your peace, or I'm going to keep still trying to find it in other places. When he says the God of hope, he's talking about the God of peace. He's talking about the author of peace. Right? He's talking about everybody say it, finish the sentence. He's talking about the Prince of Peace. Yeah, that's the place. If you're looking for hope in the midst of your hopelessness, then you need to find that peace. And listen to me. Sometimes to find that peace, we have to be taken out of a situation. We have to be removed. We have to be led away. Then it might be, now listen to me. Somebody said to me just months ago, I said something like that, and they said, well, gosh, then I really think I need to get a divorce. That's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm saying. They were serious. No, that's not what I'm saying. A covenant is different. So I'm just going to say that, and then I'm going to move on. And so, but sometimes you need to be let out. And I want you to think about some things you need to be let out that really weren't your fault. Some things you need to be let out of that really you're just a part of the circumstances. And some things you need to be led out of might be kind of good. They might be, you might enjoy those things, all right? Think of Adam and Eve for just a minute. So there's this word in Scripture that where God drove out Adam and Eve. They were driven out of the garden, okay? There's another word that when Scripture was talking about the people of God, when they were slaves in Egypt, they were driven out of Israel. That sounds like somebody standing behind them with a chain and whip, and they're beating them, and they're trying to get them out, and they're moving, and it sounds like such a negative thing. It's a positive thing. Keep up. Are you ready? Adam and Eve in the garden. Everything was great until they ate what they weren't supposed to eat, right? And then they knew sin, right? And so God said, we can't let them eat of the tree of life. They ate of the tree of good, the knowledge of good and evil. They can't eat of the tree of life and live forever. Why? Because if they lived forever, then they would be forever separated from the fellowship of God. Do you get that? They separated themselves from God in the garden, and if they ate of the tree of life and they lived forever in the garden, they would have to live in the garden forever separated from God, and that's not what God wanted. He wanted that fellowship, and so he had to take them out of the garden to give them hope. The slaves, the children of God, he had to drive them out of Egypt. Why? Because they even said it after they got out of Egypt. They said, oh, please let us go back to our, this sounds so gross, but it's just what it was. Let us go back to our pots of meat, our melons, and all of the things that we enjoyed. They wanted to go back to slavery so they could just have their bellies full. And God said, no, I need to get you someplace else. I need to take you out of where you're comfortable, right? So you and I could have a relationship that is meant to be, don't be comfortable, I want you to be great. I want you to be great in me, I want you to have relationship with me. So when I say you need hope, you might need to be driven out of wherever you are right now, and that is so not comfortable. To move yourself from hopelessness, you have to be uncomfortable sometimes to get to hope. So to recover hope, what is it that you need to do? What is it that you need to be praying for? How do you need to be asking God to move in your life? If you want to recover hope, let's go back to the scripture. The God of hope to fill you with all joy and peace and believing so that you will abound, right? So that you will abound, right, in the power and hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's joy and peace. Joy and peace. Joy and peace. Joy and peace. Over and over and over and over again. And for a lot of us, that peace is hard to find. But so I just want you to imagine this. It's so quick today because it really is very basic, and I don't want to get you all mired down in the minutiae of other things. I just want you to think about the peace not being tranquility, peace being sometimes having to remove you from where you are to get you to the place where God wants you to be so you can abound in his hope. Okay, imagine this spiral right here. Okay, imagine this is a spiral of hope. Just this passage of scripture, I started thinking about how this works, because it really is. If I believe in the promises of God and I believe in his hope, then it brings peace and it brings joy, and then I abound in the same hope. Well, I thought I was already believing in that. How does this work? I think this is how it works. I think you start believing, right, in God, who is the God of hope. And as you believe, you're in the spiral, okay? And as you believe, then this idea, okay, we have to go back to the scripture, this idea that he will fill us, and as we're being filled with this hope that we're believing in, we start experiencing joy and peace. Right? We're running into this joy and peace, which is also wrapped up in hope. And as we're wrapped up in hope and joy and peace, we start abounding in hope. And as we're abounding in hope, which is by the power of the Holy Spirit, well, then we run into believing again, and then we run into hope again, and then we run into joy and peace again, and it just gets to be more and more and more and more, and then we begin to experience him more and more and more. And as we experience him more and more and more, you get more hope, and you get more joy, and you get more peace, and then you get more believing, and then you get more faith, and then you get more hope, and then you see how it works? And my prayer is that right now we live by faith and not by sight, but that spiral keeps happening, and it gets tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter until we don't live by faith anymore, but we live by sight when we join God in heaven. Now then, that's really cool, and That's really symmetrical and it's really pretty. I think most of our spirals or most of our vortexes might look like this. Amen? Yeah, yeah. It has a trajectory up, but boy, it's like one of the roller coasters at Six Flags. You know, it's all over the place. You think you're about to turn right, and then all of a sudden you get jerked left. You think you're about to do a loop-de-loop, and then all of a sudden you're going down again. But still, you're caught. If you believe, it all goes back to that believing. It all goes back to that ever-increasing movement of Christ in our life. Then when we're tossed around, when we get to that spot where you're going back down, then all of a sudden you get caught in the vortex of the love and the grace and the mercy of Christ, and you're spun upward again. And you run into believing, and you run into hope, and you run into joy. You run into peace. You run into who God is. Paul, not going to tell you the story of Paul except for this. Paul thought he knew who God was. Who he thought God was. He didn't even believe in God. He had a God. It was really unbelieving. And he was persecuting the Christians. He was persecuting the people that he called the people of the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus Christ, right? He was persecuting the people of the way. And yet, he got caught in the vortex. And Christ came to him, literally, and changed his life and transformed his life in such a way that when he was doing all these other things, he ran into belief, he ran into joy, he ran into peace, he ran into mercy, into grace, he ran into salvation, and it just kept going, and it kept going, and it kept going, and it kept going, and it kept going. Man, if it could happen to Paul, we're all good. Amen? Oh my gosh, if it could happen to the guy that was killing Christians, hallelujah, I'm good, right? But we all still have the same tendencies to not believe, to lose hope, and to spiral into that hopelessness because of, I don't know, because of a fight we had in our marriage, because of our bank statements, because of a diagnosis, because of what's on the television, because of, just name it. So my prayer today is that we will know the God of hope and that he will fill us with that joy and peace, that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me pray for you. Lord, we need you. Gosh, we just sang it. We just uttered the words. We just proclaimed it with our voice, with our mouth. And I hope it was coming from our heart and not just as we were reciting lyrics on a screen. Lord, we need you. There are so many little g gods in our life, and what we really need is the one big G God of hope, the only God. Church, my prayer for you today is that just right now you wouldn't even think about the circumstances and you would just turn to the Lord in your heart and your mind and you'd say, Lord, just fill me with your hope. And the circumstances may be just overwhelming. But find yourself in the cleft of the rock, behind the waves, behind the lightning, behind the rainstorm, behind the hurt, behind the heartache, behind the doubt, behind the hell that you're going through on earth, and call out to the God of hope to fill you with joy and with that peace from the author of peace, the Prince of Peace. So that you will abound in that hope. And allow the Holy Spirit to show you that hope. And even if it's not specifically for you, you are being touched and affected by someone else in your life. By some hurt and heartache or disappointment. By some worry about a career or about school or about a test or about a job interview. About your children, about your spouse, about your parents, about your grandparents. I don't know. Gosh, this goes on and on and on and on. Turn to the God of hope. Turn to the God of hope. Turn to the God of hope. And we make our prayer. We offer our prayer. We beg in our prayer by the powerful name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. If that's your prayer today, if you agree with that, if you need that in your life, would you just keep your head bowed and just for me, would you just raise your hand if you're the one that you just need some hope today because of some hopelessness? There's a hand, there's a hand, there's a hand. Yes. The Lord knows you need it. One who is faithful to make it so, we make our prayer. Amen. So it's been about, 2.5 years since we've done this. We're going to see how this goes today. Take the hand of someone next to you and stretch out across the aisle if you would like to receive this blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. As we are connected as the body of Christ, I believe we should always be reminded of our connection, and sometimes holding a hand is the best that we can do. COVID really messed that up. Here we go. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Lord, send your hope. Fill us with your hope, because you are the God of hope. You are the author of our salvation. You are the author of all things good and right. Lord, fill us. So that we would know your joy and peace. So that we would just wallow around in your hope by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, that in that we know that you are faithful and you will make it come true for each and every one of us. In the name of Christ, all the people said, amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.